Good to have my mother-in-law with us. She got in the driveway and she told us that we live too far away. I guess that'd be a truth. 13 hours is a little far. But it is a pleasure to have us. She is officially the first family that we've had come see us in New Mexico. Now, when we lived in Florida, that wasn't an issue. But she is the very first one to come see us in New Mexico. And we're glad to have her. Although she did ruin my wife's evening. She done told me everything they've already did today, so Miss Gill couldn't tell me. So I said, she done said it. You can't say it again. What's that? I get it one time. I don't care what viewpoint it is. I get it one time. Don't do that. If you have your Bibles tonight, we'll be looking at Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Short message tonight. We won't be here long. I'm hoping it rains, though. I'm really hoping it rains. Very easy trivia question for you tonight. Who wrote the book of Deuteronomy? Y'all done? Y'all through guessing? I mean, God inspired it. Yes, ma'am. He did. It may or may not be a trick question. Because you see, Moses died in the middle of chapter 34. And somebody had to finish the rest of the book for him. So who wrote the book of Deuteronomy? Amen. See, that was pretty easy. Made you think a little bit, though, you know. All right. So it's not a joke tonight. These are 10 church signs. Y'all ready? Number one, free trip to heaven. Details inside. Try our Sundays. They are better than Baskin Robbins. Searching for a new look? Have your faith lifted here. An ad for a church has a picture of two hands holding stone tablets on which the Ten Commandments are inscribed and a headline that reads, "For fast, fast, fast relief, take two tablets." When the restaurant next to the church put out a big sign that said, "Open Sundays," the church reciprocated with its own message. We're open on Sundays too. Having trouble sleeping? We have sermons. Come hear one. Number seven. Come in and pray today. Beat the Christmas rush. Sign broken. Message inside this Sunday. Come work for the Lord. The work is hard. The hours are long. And the pay is low, but the retirement benefits are out of this world. If you're headed in the wrong direction, God allows U-turns. 10 church signs, them are pretty good too. Well, let's get down to the business at hand. If you have your Bibles, I'm sure hopefully you found Luke chapter 10 by now. And if you have, go ahead and stand for the reading of the Word. We'll go with 15. How's that? Luke chapter 15. See if y'all paying attention or not. Did y'all find it? Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 1. We'll read down to verse 7. The Word of God says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Father God, we love you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come in your house tonight. Lord, we thank you always for your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, for he is the way, the truth, and the life, Father God. And we thank you for our salvation through him. Lord, we do thank you for the healing of little Anita. We pray you continue to bless and heal in her life. Lord, we do lift up Brother Matt and his family, Lord. Just lead, guide, and guard and protect them, Lord. We know the devil is going to be after him. Lord, just hedge him about and bring him in safely. Lord, we do pray that there's a lost one tonight, that one will be saved. Lord, we thank you for the many prayers that were answered, Lord, and that you are a God that answered prayers. And Lord, we ask tonight, though, that you do help us put the world out for just a minute. Lord, that we leave the work load behind. Lord, we won't think about what's going on at the house or nothing. But just for the next 15, 20 minutes, Lord, allow you to touch our hearts. Lord, we pray that you bless the reading of your word into the hearts of your people, that it may be etched there forever. Hide me behind the cross and help me to preach tonight. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. The Bible, the Word of God, teaches us to be meek and lowly. It teaches us to be mild of temper, soft, gentle. It teaches us not to be easily provoked or irritated, yielding, given to forbearance. It teaches us to be humble, submissive to divine will. It teaches us not to be proud, self-sufficient, or refractory, which is divided. Not peevish and apt to complain of divine dispensation. Christ says, Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Matthew 11 and 29. The Word of God teaches us to be honest and true in all works and deeds and thoughts. Christ teaches us to love one another and to esteem ourselves lower than the other. We are taught to obey the will of the Father without question and to surrender all things to Him. We are taught to find a quiet place in life that we may hear the still small voice of God. But nowhere in the Bible that I can find that it tells a Christian to be quiet. Nowhere in the Bible can I find that it tells a Christian to shut up. Nowhere in the Word of God that I can find that it tells him to be quiet about what he believes, or what he has come to love, or what he has come to understand as a saving faith through Jesus Christ. Nowhere in the Word of God does it tell me to shut my mouth. Title of tonight's message is Get 'em Singing. Get 'em Singing. Can I tell you there's a host in heaven that are on their toes waiting to sing and shout, as it says in verse 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over the sinner that repenteth. The angels are in heaven waiting to sing. Jesus Christ did not die to sit there and be still. He didn't die not to say anything while He's in heaven. He didn't die just to sit on a throne next to the Father. He wants to get excited. Can I tell you that? Can I tell you, the host of heaven wants to sing and to shout. The host of heaven wants to be joyful. Let me move it up again. Can I tell you, though, that the heaven doesn't rejoice as much as it used to? Can I tell you that heaven doesn't rejoice as much as it ought to tonight? Can I tell you that the choir up there is getting cobwebs about them? Can I tell you the conductor no longer waves his arms like he used to? They're no longer singing and shouting the joyful songs that they desire to sing. Why? They have nothing to sing about. Why? Because we ain't a shouting down here. We ain't a singing the praises to God down here like we're supposed to be. You see, they get busy singing up there when what? A sinner comes to Jesus. But they can't sing because we haven't let them. They can't sing because we haven't given them something to sing about. Why? Because we got quiet. We no longer sing the praises of God like we used to. We no longer sing the Christian songs in Walmart and in about our day and everything. We no longer go about joyfully spreading the Word of God. We're quiet. And because we have gotten quiet as Christians, heaven's become quiet too. What does it take to make them sing? Salvation. When one repenteth, comes to Jesus, the host of heaven sing. They're not doing that because of us. Joshua 6 and 16, and it came to pass at the seventh time when the priest blew the trumpets. Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Can I tell you that we have something to shout about today? Can I tell you that we have a message that the world needs to hear? Can I tell you that the Bible has a truth that the world needs to know about? But in order for the world to know about it, we have to open our mouths and get it out there. The shout of the Israelites brought down the wall of Jerusalem. Can I tell you, in today's societies, there are many, many walls that are built up. They're built around our schools. They're built up around a lot of so-called churches. And these walls are getting built up around a lot of Christian families today. And can I tell you, we need to take the Word of God to these walls and start shouting. We quit shouting. That's why the walls got built around our schools. We quit shouting about how glorious God is and how right it is and how we need to pray and everything else. And because we stopped shouting, that wall got built around our school. Now God's no longer welcome in there. Now we can't go in there and pray with our children. Now we can't take the Bible in there and teach them the truth of God's Word and the history of the world because we forgot to shout. When it came time to raise our voices and to declare that God is right, and that woman that stood up to get prayer taken out, we should have stood up and shout. Can I tell you, it's not too late. That the power of God is the same power that was in Jericho that day. When they marched seven times around and Joshua and all the trumpets blew and they shouted and that wall came tumbling down, God's power is still the same power today. But we are not opening our mouths to shout out in the name of the Lord. So those walls are still standing. We need to start shouting. Shouting to say, hey, look, this needs to change. Hey, look, abortion came about. Why? We didn't shout. We didn't open our mouths and show them what the Word of God says and say, hey, this is murder. We didn't shout long enough and the laws got passed. Can I tell you that we need to start shouting? And we can get the laws turned around. But we have to believe that our God can do that. And He can. He truly can. Over in Judges, we find Gideon. Judges 7 and 20, and it says, and the three companies blew trumpets and brake the pitchers and that held the lamps in their right hands to blow with all. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. We've talked many times about how we warreth, how we need to keep on the armor of God, how that this is a battleground, that there is a spiritual warfare going on. Can I tell you that as Gideon, with very few people, matter of fact, God weeded it down on purpose just to take in the 300 so that He could prove that He was in charge of this thing. Can I tell you, there's enough here to cry out. There's enough here in this church tonight to make a difference in Clovis, New Mexico. There's enough here to get things done for God, but all we have to do is start standing up and crying out for what we confess inside these walls to be true. But yet we don't take it outside those doors. We get quiet. Why? Are we scared? I don't know. Do we not truly believe it in all the hearts that God can take care of us? You know, Gideon had to put out the fleece a couple of times in order to build up courage. But can I tell you, we're enough to make a difference. We just have to do what God has asked us to do. We know what the Word of God says. Do you believe that God has the same power that He did in the day of Gideon? Do you believe that God has the same power that He did in the day of Joshua and the battle of Jericho? Can I tell you that He's the same God from beginning to end? He does not change. He hasn't lost any power. He hasn't lost any love for His children. But His children have lost the love for Him. We need to cry out in battle. We need to take what we got. We don't need a lot. But we need to start making noise. You see, the battle was won that day for Gideon because of why? It was noise. It truly was noise. They got scared by all the noise that was created, by the loud shouts and the breaking of lanterns and the clattering and everything else. Why? It scared them. Can I tell you, we can make noise. We don't have to sit here and be quiet. That's not what the Bible tells us to do. It never told us to shut up. Told us to stand up. Believe what you believe and go after it. That's what He did. We need to start making noise. We need to start tearing down the walls that sin has built around our children and around our homes and around our churches. But we have to stand up and cry out. We have to stand up and shout for the glory of God. For thus saith the Lord of all creation. He'll be there. Can I tell you, He's waiting? He's waiting for the few that He needs to get up and just start shouting. He's waiting for the few that He needs just to get up and start crying out. He's waiting for the few that's here just to start believing that God is God and God's going to take care of us. And He will. But we're never going to get anything done just being quiet. We're not going to get anything done. We have a casino coming into town. Can I tell you, we need to stand up and shout. We do. How do we do that, Brother Jacob? Well, we start, we pray. And then what do? We go down to the committee and let them know that High Plains Baptist Church does not want a casino here. Why? Because it's not right in accordance with the Word of God. For thus saith the Lord God Almighty, that's sin. And we don't want sin in our towns. But we have to cry out. We have to fight those battles. And we have to love our God like He loves us. And then we find John 1:23, and He said, I am the voice of one crying into the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. So we cry out because there's things that have gone wrong. We cry out because we let things happen because we didn't say anything. And then the Bible commands us what? To cry out for Christ. For John's sole purpose was what? To prepare the Lord for the Lord's coming. Can I tell you, that's what still our purpose today is to cry out that the Lord Jesus Christ has come, that the Savior of the world has come down from heaven. He had died on an old rugged cross for each and every one of us. He shed His blood for redemption's purposes because He loved us. We need to cry out. John cried, and he prepared the way for the Lord. But we take our salvation, we stick it in our pocket, and we hide it. We're not supposed to. We cry out for His repentance. We cry out that He came and He died for us. We need to lift our voices high for Christ, for He has come. We need to tell the world that He has come and that He has died for our sins. And that He has risen. And He is in heaven with God the Father. The world is not going to hear you through whispering. The world is not going to hear you if your mouth is shut. The world is not going to hear you if you never speak in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to cry that He's coming again. I know that I preached a couple of weeks ago that oftentimes we go out into the world and we talk about His second coming to the lost. The lost doesn't need to hear about the second coming. The lost needs to hear about the first coming. The lost needs to hear how there's a man came and died for them. But our church family needs to hear about the second coming. The ones that have strayed and gone away from church, they need to be reminded that Jesus Christ is coming again. They need to understand that their actions now makes a difference in life. That one day that they're going to stand before the bema seat of Christ and give an account. You understand that He's paying attention to what they do. We need to understand in High Plains Baptist Church that He's watching us. That we need to be reminded that every time we step out the door and go to work, that Jesus Christ is coming soon. And that we should live like that. We should be reminded in every word that comes out of our mouth and every action that we do, that Jesus Christ is coming soon. And that we should have the testimony of that. We should not let our guard down. We should be crying out and showing others the love of Christ. Not keeping quiet about it. Not hiding the fact. Do you love your Lord? And shout it. Do you love Jesus Christ? And cry out for it. Cry that others believe the same thing. Cry that others know that you truly believe in your heart what you say. Can I tell you, a lot of people just don't believe anymore because they can't see it. They don't see it in us. We hide it. We get saved, and I think that when we walk out of church, we forget all about it when we go about our day-to-day lives. Shouldn't be like that. We should be spouting out that Jesus loves you. We should be spouting out that He died on the cross for your sins. We should be reminding our brothers at work and stuff, John, the Lord's coming back. Why? It's an encouragement. It helps each other. Praise God, He's coming soon. But yes, cry for the ones that are lost and tell them about the one that died for them. Can't be quiet. The host of heaven wants to joy. It wants to sing. But we have shut them up and kept them quiet way too long. We say that we want to see lost people saved. Right? Is that not what we want? Can you tell a lost people how a lost person gets saved if you're like this? It doesn't work, does it? We've been quiet way too long. We have to tell the world about Jesus. We have to tell the world about the Savior. We have to tell the world that we believe in the Bible. We have to tell the world when things are not going like they're supposed to, hey, look, we don't agree with this because it's against God's Word. You know, that's our job. And when we fail to do that, guess what happens? Look at the news. Look at the school shootings and everything else going around the world. You can trace it back to all the issues popping up in the schools when prayer left the building. You can follow it back. I've done studies. When God left, the devil came in. We can shout that wall down. We can. We have a wonderful program that we were taught 3 years ago. Y'all remember that program? Maybe 4 years ago now. The Rock of Ages come in here and taught us how to go into schools and teach character building based on that book. Opportunity to go into local schools that we've been kicked out of and teach kids how to behave themselves based on biblical principles. And when they ask the question about God, we're allowed to speak. Where is that program? We have let it go. We had an opportunity to speak, and we got quiet. God wants us to shout. God wants us to lift His name up on high in the holiness. We get excited around Christmas and sing loud. We get excited around Easter and we raise our voices and we sing, "Hosanna, for the Lord hath come." But we go out into the world and say nothing. We shut our mouths. We have a visitation program that gives us all opportunities to go out and knock doors and speak in the name of Jesus Christ. It's one of the least attended things we do at High Plains Baptist Church. Do we care about souls? Are we opening our mouths to spread the Word of God? We need to get the host of heaven singing again. We need to shout from on high and do what God has told us to do. The walls can come down. The battle can be won. Heaven could be made to sing again if we but open our mouths and speak in the name of the Lord. Let's stand.